It's Wednesday morning. You know what that means? It's time for another episode of the Alabama Slam Podcast. I'm your host, Corey Hanna.
What's going on, guys? It's Patrick Akers.
And I'm no longer allowed to drive a bus in New York.
All right, let's get into AEW for the week. We're going to do it first, and then we're going to do WWE second and talk about the draft, which is going to lead us to our inaugural Alabama Slam podcast draft. So stick around after we get done talking about the week in wrestling. We're creating our own wrestling territory, and we're picking five wrestlers and building our promotions around that. So stick around at the end of the show if you want to hear how that goes down, because we have a, sort of an idea about what we're going to do, but we're probably just winging it most of the way. So it should be fun. So AEW for the week, I want to start off with the best friends. There was the whole thing about Trent making Chuck decide if he was going to hang with Orange Cassidy or with him. And then Chuck chose Orange. He finally got to say shit on TV. He's been trying to say it for a while, right?
That's probably the longest story AEW's had, is Chuck trying to say shit on a Ted Turner network.
Well, they made it happen, and then they had their parking lot fight on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So we technically going to start off talking about Rampage first, but that's probably the only thing we'll talk about from there, and then we'll switch back to Dynamite. But it started off with the segment on Dynamite, so I guess we can go ahead and get into the match.
We lead in with the not the best friends, but the executives coming out with Okada, and then that second car shows up, got Jack Perry. So this is a setup straight out of you know, Dynasty. We're here. We got the hot feud. We're ready to go. We lead right into best friends. I mean, come on, man.
It was kind of weird.
It was a little like, why is this starting the show now?
Yeah.
But that being said,
Chuck looks like he's coming into puberty almost.
It didn't come across as emotional is what I think they would have liked it to.
No, not in the least.
And I think it's because Chuck made the wrong choice.
I think he should have been the bad guy.
Easy
too.
Ways, you should have went with Trent, and you should have the best friends heel tag team. Now, it's not to say they can't get there at some point.
I don't think he's actually fully healed.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it too, because the parking lot thing wasn't live; it was on a closed set. But the parking lot match, I don't know if you guys saw it, they did have a little moment on top of the car where, like, they shared a little bit of a hug, and then Trent hit him with a low blow, and then Powell drived him on the car. And so, and then, you know, Orange Cassidy comes out with Statlander.
You think that was real glass?
The AEW social team did have a funny little smarky post where it was like, oh man, the things we're doing to these rental cars or something like that, which was a funny little callback. Look, the parking lot match was like, I mean, you know, your mileage is going to vary on how well you like it, but I do think there's a utility in at least doing different types of matches than what, you know, WWE normally does.
I left my wife watching this match because the youngest wanted a cheeseburger. So I had to take their asses out to get a cheeseburger during this. And I came back and she's like, it went on too long. That was her first statement to me. And I'm like, well, what happened? She's like, I don't know. I tuned out after it went on too long. There was garbage cans and stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I went back and watched it. I didn't hate it. I didn't agree with her statement that it went out on too long, but I'm not invested in the best friends right now. I mean, Chuck has been out for how long?
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Long time. You know, the first time he comes back, they break up. So this tells me that they've had this plan for forever, and Tony just sat on it and then was like, we got to do it now because you don't know when he's going to come back.
Yeah, I think they missed some emotional beats. I don't know what those emotional beats would have been.
That's the downside of this is the downside of not having
Orange Rider.
Well, that too. But
it always comes back to that.
Orange has a character. Orange has a personality. Trent is developing one. Chuck is not even in the neighborhood of where Trent is, and Trent isn't even in the neighborhood of Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, I mean, I like Chuck, but he's kind of just like third guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. I think one of those beats could have been maybe Orange Cassidy and Statlander come out a little bit sooner than what they do.
Yeah.
Maybe but, something like that.
I mean, Orange isn't going to walk fast to that.
No. And like I said, I didn't hate it. I didn't think it was terrible.
Also, if you're gonna do a segment where you have Orange doing a promo and Statlander comes up to him to discuss getting his butt to the fight quick because he needs him, don't have Statlander do it in a different outfit than what she's wearing when you did the promo. I missed
that. Whoops. Happens sometimes.
Yeah. Continuity.
Yeah.
I guess they stopped somewhere. Got changed.
We've got a ton of other things to.
But I'm still bugged that this led off of Dynamite.
You talking about just the confrontation that led up to the fight, right?
Yeah. You just crowned your first African American champion, and instead of highlighting that at the beginning,
the reason they did that, I read, was that they wanted to do that Saturday night because they were leading in directly from the playoffs.
Didn't pay off for them.
They had some more viewers, but it still didn't.
Oh, it dropped quick.
Yeah. I saw the breakdown about an hour before I came up here. But
and I get it. But still, I mean, do it on both.
Yeah.
I would do my thing. Do it on both.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's.
Audio sucked on this, too.
Well, that was my very next note was this audio mix is terrible.
So I read that was on TBS's end.
I don't know if I buy that.
It wasn't on AEW. It was
because they had a similar problem on Collision, too. And they started having audio issues there, too.
I read the thing that you said, and I was trying to figure out how that makes sense. But they said it was fine on some of the other platforms. So,
yeah. So I don't know.
It sounded to me like there was just a room mic somewhere that the sound guy fucking forgot to hit mute on. But like you would have figured that out.
Yeah, they sounded like they were underwater.
Yeah.
For a lot. I just thought they were trying to mic the crowd for the first time in their lives and just didn't know how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed
but it
like
made for hilarious.
It was rough. But then let's get into the Casino Gauntlet match. Jay White versus Dante Martin versus Penta versus Kyle O'Reilly versus Ospreay versus Lance Archer versus Commander versus Jay Lethal. Ospreay wins for a shot at the Intercontinental Championship at Double or Nothing, which seems like an odd place to try to put him.
My hope is that this leads to some type of unification match at All In, and you get one of those belts you get the international belt off of TV, and your mid-card belts are just your TNT and your shit. What's the other continental that Okada has?
Oh shit. I had this one listed as the Intercontinental.
Well, this is the international.
Yeah.
For Roddy's.
Gotcha.
So that, I mean, that's my hope.
Well, isn't the international the TNT one?
No. So there's right now, there's the TNT title, which Copeland has.
Okay.
Okada has the Continental.
Yep.
And then Roddy has the International.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. If you know, Ospreay wins, has the International, defends it a couple times, and then All Out, here comes Wembley. Both dudes get to walk in with belts. And presumably, Ospreay gets the win and has the two titles, and then you just... Okay, it's unified. There goes that one.
So when you say at Wembley, you're talking he comes in for the world?
Yeah, it'd be him and Swerve. I'm still thinking that I don't know who else.
I just
want
to make sure you weren't trying to condense, like, you know, because if you're trying to condense the TNT one, is that mean he's going for a mid-card belt at Wembley, which I wouldn't put it past him.
No, I think the TNT title, because that has, like, Cody has that lineage. That was Brody Lee. I don't think they're going to get away or get rid of that one anytime soon. And the Continental, it's on Okada. I don't see that one going anywhere anytime soon. So the one that is kind of – plus they've already rebranded this International. It was something else before it was the International title. So they've done it before. Because otherwise, I don't know – why you put these two guys in a match with each other, given the popularity that Ospreay has. Do you really want to saddle him down with whatever Undisputed Kingdom is going to do?
That's my fear. Is that where we're going? Because, I mean, they're going to, if MJF comes back, the Adam Cole stuff gets blown off real quick.
Yeah. MJF just finally had his surgery the other day. Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
Like, so he was hoping to rehab it, but now they're saying, they
sounds
don't
like
really
he's
going to
be out for a minute. Yeah.
The only thing I saw was something about him getting hair plugs or something.
Well, that too. He goes to Turkey. Everybody's going to Turkey now. If you get, if you're rich and you're a man and kind of slightly bald, you can go to Turkey and get the, you get the hair plugs.
I don't fall into half those. Rich and or slightly.
Yeah. But as terms of the match, I mean,
it was okay. I mean, it's a standard scramble match.
And a couple of those guys don't belong, right? Commander doesn't belong. Yeah. And, you know, Jay Lethal, for as much as I love him, doesn't belong. Yeah. But it's cool. It was cool to see Ospreay and Jay White tangle for
Really, once you saw Ospreay come out, was there any other thought on how that was going to end?
And the crowd knew it too. Yeah. The crowd is... That dude, like, as soon as he comes out, we've talked about this before, the crowd just... They're just eating him up. They love him. They can't get enough of him. He's the biggest star on that show.
Was that before or after the Swerve Kyle Fletcher match?
After.
That was after.
So, and that's what bugs me. I mean, you essentially booked your AEW champion as a mid-card attraction against somebody who's doing an eliminator match, you know?
Well, you can't hold. I mean, if Ospreay is one right now in that company, Swerve is two. And I mean, you can't, I would argue it that was similar to what WWE was in last year with Cody Rhodes was kind of the top dog, even though he didn't have the title because Roman was kind of off TV. But yeah, I just hope that we don't see an Ospreay versus Undisputed Kingdom anytime soon.
Yeah, they got better things they can do with him. Do y'all have any other ones on that one before we move into Jack Perry?
Him hitting the hidden blade is kind of badass. Was just out of different places.
You saw the hesitation too on the driver.
Oh, and that's what I was going to bring up too. Like, I like that they're keeping that going because whenever you decide you want to turn Ospreay heel, that's such an easy turn. And him as a heel, people are like, well, what's Ospreay's heel character? Well, he just becomes fucking Sephiroth from damn Final Fantasy, and he's just unbeatable. That's his thing.
He's super cocky.
I'm going to drop you on your neck, break your neck, hit you with a blade. Like, you can imagine that pretty easily. What
you
a heel.
You can't keep up with me, bitches.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into Jack Perry. You know, they get out of the cars in the beginning. They go into TK's office. They come out. None of them say anything. Well, I think one of the brothers did, but none of the rest of them did, and said that, you know, Jack's going to meet Tony in the ring at the end of the show. So then Tony comes out, the crowd chants, he's our scapegoat. Jack gets reinstated, gives Tony the hug, the little sly smile to the camera, which I thought was fucking excellent. And then he punched Tony in the stomach. The Bucks come out, do the TK driver, kind of keep it going. That's how the show ends with Tony Khan laid out.
Should have seen it coming. They changed the name, man.
They did change the name. I like this a lot. Yeah. This is for all the people that complain about AEW not having stories, at least this is an attempt. Now, would you like Tony Khan to sell a little bit better?
Oh, he just glitched.
Yeah, he glitched out. But they did do something smart where they did not let Tony Khan talk.
Yeah.
Which I thought, like, that's when we talked about TK doesn't need to be an on-screen character. We just don't need to see him talking.
But at first, I was like, oh, don't bring him out. This is going to be dumb. But the little hug with the smile, I was laughing my ass off. And then they did the TK driver, and I was like, oh.
See, the problem is he trusted somebody with super beady eyes. And Jack Perry's got them beady, beady eyes. You never trust anybody with them.
I like it in the moment. I just can't decide what they're going to do and how quickly they can get out of this where TK's got to be on screen. Like,
I think this front and this is tomorrow. We are today, I guess.
But I think they did get out of it because if you guys watch Collision, they showed a replay of it. And then Tony Schiavone, I thought they were about to announce like an authority figure for Dynamite.
They said he was going to be doing it from somewhere else, even though he comes out later in that same thing, which, you know, keep your continuity straight with what you're telling people. But I think on Wednesday we get Kenny Omega as potential GM.
Oh, shit.
I think that would be a good call.
Because you saw the thing where they had talked to him about coming in, and he was like 80%. Like, yeah, I think I'm going to be able to do it. And then the venue started promoting that Omega was going to be there. He's like, well, I guess I'm going fucking to the show.
But like Kenny Omega as an authority figure makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Because
He's been, quote unquote, kicked out of the elite.
He's been kicked out. People have respect for him. The fans have respect for him. The wrestlers have respect for him. He is a type of imposing figure, not like Nick Aldis on SmackDown. He's not built like that.
Sure.
I mean, Nick Aldis is kind of, Nick Aldis is bigger than 85% of the WWE roster. But Omega just kind of, he would fit. He would fit as a matchmaker. It is a good story to tell with the Bucks for them to go up against. And I think we had talked about months ago when they were sort of doing this like quasi-civil war within the women's division, like Saraya and Ruby Soho and like the Outsiders. We thought, oh, that'd be a cool story of like the homegrown AEW girls versus up against the ex-WWE girls. Wah, 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 wah. And that didn't happen, obviously. But now you do have an opportunity to have the Bucks and Perry and Okada versus whatever kind of stable of baby faces you want to have.
I mean, you can't, Paige will obviously side with the Bucks, I'm guessing, in his current role.
Yeah, and that's a good, I mean, that's a, you got a good five right there. And then who do you get on the other side?
The learning tree.
Blood and guts, right?
Well, Swerve Strickland even like mentioned like in his promo on Saturday, like, hey, it's not, you know, he had mentioned what had happened to the Bucks.
Which is funny to me because Swerve watched the show. Kenny Omega didn't watch the show. He got caught in an interview saying, oh, no, I didn't see it. What happened? I don't watch it.
He's fucking on Twitch.
Yeah.
Streaming probably, right? Didn't
saw him on the draft with a neck brace. And I was like, oh, what happened to him?
Yeah.
Come on, Kenny.
But I mean, this is for as much as people want AEW to have a kind of story. At least this is the start of one. Now, we'll see where this goes. This could turn to shit, but it's a start.
It is.
And I think that in hindsight, if we have to ask ourselves, was it worth it to show the Punk Perry footage? I think that they, I don't think they saw this coming, but they lucked their way into it. They certainly have done something for Jack Perry.
I have no, I enjoyed this direction they're heading. Do I think it was executed as talented as it needed to be?
No.
Heck no.
But.
No, they were trying to say, make sure they didn't kill the GM out there.
Yeah.
Did you see the way he was holding
him? And my other little critique, I want some bigger baby faces to come out. I don't want the job squad. No offense to those guys. I want to see Danielson. I want to see Ospreay. I want to see Moxley. I want to see those type of baby faces come out. I love the Shad Khan coming out. I love the dad coming out. That was great.
Oh, that man looked so disappointed in everything, didn't he?
Well, I don't know.
Selling.
He convinced me that he was looking. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes. Obviously, if you're listening to this when it comes out on Wednesday, we'll get some kind of answer tonight. But
yeah,
I hope y'all are on to something with the Kenny as the GM type. Collision, I've already kind of mentioned that they started the show with the promo with Swerve. Not usually a fan of starting the show with promos, but that kind of made sense.
I want to talk on Deeb real quick because we had that Tony Storm match and then you had Serena Deeb.
Oh, yeah.
The professor come out.
Oh, yeah.
And we had audio problems part two where she sits down and if I hadn't had the closed captions on at the time, I wouldn't know that she said, if you're listening to my voice right now, the next time I hold this belt, I'm going to be a champion. So evidently, the only person she told that to was herself. So
self-confident. Yeah. Hey, sometimes you got to manifest things even to yourself.
Yeah. Y'all got any other notes on Collision? I remember enjoying the show, but I made zero notes.
Collision, what lesson? We started off, well, we got start off with a Swerve coming out there and having his moment with Claudio, which, you know, solid match. Probably should have, probably shouldn't have had that be an open challenge. You probably should have advertised that one.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go out there on the limb with that. Probably should have advertised you were bringing back Rouge. Probably should have advertised you were bringing back Rey Fénix before the start of that show. But hey.
The thing about Collision is it's basically just become WCW Saturday Night, which is if you watch Saturday Night, you got good matches. But the stories really didn't continue from Monday Night, which if you saw any of the Tony Khan neck brace NFL interviews, the only thing he plugged to figure out to see what would happen next it was Dynamite. He didn't say anything about Collision, which just tells me that like the Saturday show is just an exhibition.
When he did the Harvey Weinstein one, he did plug Collision.
Oh, see, I thought he plugged because someone asked what his prognosis was, and he said, I don't know, tune in Wednesday night, Dynamite.
Well, he did say that one, but he also, later on, right before he threw out the, after he got the Pepsi analogy, all that kind of stuff out and got that, he said, watch Collision. But it was such, because it was sandwiched in right before he said the stuff that, you know, got him essentially had the anchors be like, and we're done.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, he,
he doesn't book Collision like it actually matters.
Right. But here's this is what bugs me about this. Why didn't Swerve come out on Dynamite? Because we wanted to have it on Collision where he'd have the lead in from the NBA game and have millions and millions and millions of people watch it. And then you treat the show like it's a throwaway show. You're telling me exactly what I should think of Swerve already.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. I think Swerve should have been, he should have been featured on both shows. I think the champion, first of all, because AEW is, you know, kind of, at least in the ruts, ratings-wise, the champion needs to be on both shows. A lot of guys, first of all, need to be working both shows. Like, I would hate to break it to you.
I'll tell you something else. A lot of guys should be working one show.
Well,
because they ain't working none right now. They're working New Japan.
Where's Ricky Starks?
Yeah, I mean, this is if you look at the AEW roster and you're just like, damn, if all these dudes were healthy and like together, it would be a stacked thing. But there is just like a lot of like either unfortunate injuries.
There's a lot in WWE too. Which
but there's a difference. There's a difference when you're working, when you're in WWE and you have that injury. You still got your face on TV if you're involved in something. Drew McIntyre, elbow, still involved in something.
Feuding against a dude that has a tricep. Dom walked out with a sling and Jamie was like, what the hell's wrong with him? Is he just faking because mommy's hurt? I was like, no, he's for real hurt.
It's legit hurt. So, I
mean, they cut, and that's the difference between when you have everybody on that same keel where we're intending to throw Kyle Fletcher up against Swerve. We're intending to throw Claudio up against Swerve. We're intending to throw Eddie Kingston up against Swerve, and nobody is that star because you don't give them TV time outside of just the matches.
Yeah, but I think part of the, I don't mind throwing random people up against the champion. You even saw WWE do it with Carmelo Hayes.
Then get rid of the rankings.
Well, we'll talk about how the WWE has their own version of the rankings.
It's just whoever they want.
With the draft. So I'll talk about that coming up. But I don't mind it because it shows that like even there's not a lot separating the top guys from some of the middle dudes in the roster. And so it makes everybody feel, but to me, at least, like they're strong.
It doesn't. To me, it makes everybody feel like they're soft.
Well, I feel like if you're going to take that same criticism, you have to level the same criticism at WWE for having their hottest dude go up against a guy in Carmelo Hayes and having it be a competitive match.
I have no issue with that because I thought about that. I'm like, okay, you got a random dude that's coming up from their developmental series on Kyle Fletcher. Cool on you.
Yeah.
Dude has a title. Carmelo Hayes, same thing. Got no issue with that. It's the fact that nobody stands out. It makes everybody weaker. It doesn't bring everybody up.
I think there are dudes in AEW that stand out. I think Swerve and Ospreay would be the two of them. I don't think WWE has a lot of guys that stand outside of Cody and Punk. And we'll talk about
Punk their only segments. Stands out because of his mic skills. He's not shit in the ring anymore.
Well, yeah, but there's an appeal to Punk, and
Drew stands out right now. Randy Orton standing out.
I would push back against Randy Orton. I think that's like, I will give you Drew and Punk because I think their story is the best thing that WWE has right now. But like
Kevin Owens stands out.
Kevin Owens getting beat up by
Judgment
Tama Tonga, who just got there.
But it's their main. That is their main story on that thing. That is the storyline that is driving that entire show. He is. If they were billing that show right now, Cody Rhodes wouldn't have top billing.
Well, yeah, and that's probably why I haven't enjoyed the past two episodes of SmackDown.
But that's the storyline they're going with right now.
Well,
and I can't remember if it was you who was saying it that it
sucks for them because you know, Solo is garbage.
Well, can we go ahead and move to WWE talk about Solo?
Yeah.
So he comes out. They do the thing. Paul Heyman is nervous to see the SUV. SUV opens up. Out walks Solo Sikoa in a 2004 NBA draft suit, which is like 13 sizes. It looks like it's his dad's suit. Too big on him. And he has as much charisma as a damn plank of wood drifting out in the sea. And I don't know who has got into this dude's head that to sound tough, you need to have a cadence that goes like this. He is trying to do Roman Reigns,
yep,
and he can't do it.
I think that's part of the gimmick, though.
Well, God, change it. Stop. Because it's you're making the dude, they do not feel authentic or scary or even entertaining. At least with Roman Reigns, there was a presence about him. The subtlety, which we talked about all the time on this podcast, but he's done better than probably anybody else in the history of wrestling.
But see, that's what Solo is trying to get across. And I'm not saying he's doing it well, but that's what he's trying to get across is that he's molded himself as the tribal, as the heir apparent to the tribal chief, or maybe even the whatever, if he wants to think of himself as the tribal chief right now, he has molded himself in the image of what Roman left. And he doesn't fit that role quite right.
Yeah. It's not good. That, like, I get that you want to try to draw, like, you want to have a sort of a parallel type of character with Solo against Roman. The problem is it's not good.
But so I think that's the steps that we're going to get, is that he's going to eventually have to do that full aggressive snap.
My confusion comes with Paul Heyman in this storyline. Paul Heyman was the special counsel to Roman Reigns, correct?
He was the wise man. The wise man to the tribal chief. So he is representing he represents the bloodline when the tribal chief is not there by the orders given to him by said tribal chief.
Now, okay. Now, that's what I was confused about, because I was like, Roman ain't there, so why is Paul there?
Because he's in theory the spokesperson for Roman, but I guess Roman, wherever Roman is, they don't get cell service.
But they're also not making it clear that I mean, Paul just has no role at this point. Like
his role right now to me is that he's the everyman of showing us that this is a bloodline that's in flux, because he doesn't know quite what's going on. He's
just as confused as we are.
He's answering to Roman in the sense that he got the message of, hey, I'm withdrawing from the draft because I'm too good. Nobody will ever, you know, be not number one, even though I'm not going to be there. So, you know, I'm going to step back, which that message didn't get down to Solo, who's like, where are we in the draft? Kind of stuff.
Yeah, and also Solo, Paul Heyman was like, we haven't been drafted. And Solo was like, tell me that again. You didn't get drafted. What? He didn't give you a complicated reason was.
But that's him trying to be intimidating. And again, he's trying to do it in a subtle way that isn't fitting him. And I think that's what the character is trying to come across, is it's not fitting him the way he's trying to do it, because he's not Roman.
You can't get on Twitter for a few minutes and look at the draft.
Well,
come on, Solo. I know you was on your phone in the car.
I assume he's watching porn in the car.
you just have to, however you wanted Solo to be, it's not working.
Yeah.
So change, but here's the thing. What do you change him to? Because you basically, the character he should be portraying is the character you have given Tama Tonga. Like Tama Tonga really shouldn't even be in the bloodline. It should just be Solo Sikoa beating the shit out of everybody and Paul Heyman being like, I can't control him. He's a fucking crazy man.
I would not argue with that in the least. I think that would be a better part of
the story. Now what do you do with him?
And it's only going to get worse when they introduce more. They have to break him out of the Roman Reigns subtlety. He's got to realize that's not working for him and go to an aggressive end.
But that comes from
And they're trying to make it look like he is, it's not that he's a berserker, but that he's a deadly assassin. Because what it is he's got Tama is his berserker who comes out there and beats everybody down, and then he comes in for that assassination kill shot.
Yeah.
And he's good at blending it. Because I was like, holy shit, that security guard just hit Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And then I realized it was Solo. I was like, oh, okay. I get it. You might want to have different security guards and have him wear a different outfit because he's the same size as them and looks the same as them. There's missteps in this.
Yeah, I just, there's a couple. One, it's Solo needs about 50 pounds. I don't care how he gets it. It can be muscle, it can be fat. I don't care. He needs to be more of a behemoth. And let's find a suit that actually fits the man. That's the first thing I noticed. Like, that suit doesn't fit him. He looks stupid. I like the gloves. Gloves are kind of a nice little touch, but the suit jacket
just, fingerprints when you kill somebody.
The suit jacket gave me, like, have you ever seen the meme of like when LeBron James got drafted? I think it was 2003 NBA draft class, and all the suits are like seven sizes too big for the players.
Yeah, it just
looks ridiculous.
They don't have tailors.
Was this actually on this SmackDown, or was that last SmackDown?
No, he came out of the SUV in the suit and the chain.
That's right, because he was talking about the draft. That's right.
I'm talking about the draft.
And then Kevin Owens blindsided him.
Kevin Owens blindsides him, and the fight was good. The brawl was convincing. That was a pretty good convincing brawl. Look, they're actually trying to punch each other.
Yeah.
It's just coming off the heels of the Roman Reigns bloodline to now the Solo Sikoa bloodline 2.0 is a drop-off.
They got to figure it out. I was texting with my buddy Eddie, and he was like, they'd have lost me with this bloodline. They're going to have to write this ship real quick.
My question alone should tell you what my thought. I mean, if I can't tell the difference of what episode I've watched and when it happened, you got to do something.
Maybe I was too harsh on Roman Reigns. Maybe when I said it could have been anybody, maybe I was wrong. Maybe it was not. Or maybe it's just not Solo. I don't know.
But let's be honest. I mean, the SmackDown was a rough-ass watch.
I think the past two SmackDowns have not been good.
I've got more notes about things that are non-wrestling than wrestling, and we can get to a couple of them real quick. Just in talking in general about the show, is AJ Styles the first wrestler to at least act like he's reading the contract? Probably, because he at least was staring down at it, like with his pencil, like kind of looking at it. You know, I was like, okay,
yeah.
Because one of the things when Jamie first started watching wrestling was like, do they ever fucking read these contracts? No. The second
because I want to touch on, because I was watching again. I was trapped in watching this with my wife, and she's like, oh, they're gonna start fighting now before they sign that contract. And I appreciated that they didn't, that they went a different direction and didn't fight
at all.
That being said, this was a boring ass episode of SmackDown.
I guess this is a touch on some of the wrestling. Are they trying to make Breaker the Goldberg 2.0 because nobody fucking wants that? They're just putting him out in squash matches every week against nobody.
Cedric Alexander's not a nobody.
When was the last time he was on TV in a relevant match?
I agree that he does not have the shine that a Cedric Alexander, of a man of that man's talent,
sure,
deserves.
They didn't put him out there with fucking pretty Peter Avalon.
Yeah.
But they may as well have. But
I will defend Cedric Alexander because he is a mid-card. He is a mid-card man. He ain't the worst that they could have thrown out there. But again, I think this was a holding place for him, seeing how he was going to be shifted around some, so they don't want to start anything with him on a SmackDown if he's going to Raw.
Then why do it? Give that time to something else.
But they still want to.
Everybody fucking hates Goldberg. You can't be on Twitter or fucking TikTok without people bitching about Goldberg.
Oh,
they've got to know that this is where they're heading.
Now hold on here, because this is a rant for me. I have one of the original I Hate Goldberg fan club cards in my wallet over here, because I have hated his ass since he debuted in WCW because I thought he was a piece of shit then. Everybody else was like, oh, Goldberg's the best. And then, he went away for a while, came back. Oh, everybody, Goldberg's the best. And people jumping on this I Hate Goldberg bandwagon. You're late to the party.
Steve's been here since the beginning. The original. Bron Breakker is cool, I guess, but you're never going to get him over doing this. And he can't be this for forever. So what is he going to do?
It's boring as hell.
I really think once things get settled over in Raw, they'll give him something more significant.
I
think there's going to be a couple squash matches just to get over the fact that he's explosive and quick.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, yeah.
Did y'all see the clip of him when he was running the ropes and the fucking ring moved?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude's got some power.
He's got power, but like, it's, you're not, you, the difference between when Carmelo came out and when Bron Breakker came out, I thought was pretty convincing about where the fans kind of see both of those people. Mm-hmm. Because when Carmelo came out, it was, first of all, I immediately started to whoop that trick, which is like, if you're Shawn Michaels and Triple H, you got to be over the moon about Trick Williams is getting over like that. But like when Bron came out and did the mat, they were just like, oh, yeah, cool. Woo. Yay. That's it. There was nothing, because he doesn't do anything but spear people.
Speaking of Carmelo, did y'all want to touch on that match anymore between him and Cody, or do you think we got that all in?
I enjoyed the match. I mean, they had that one weird ass spot where I don't know if they were trying to do something different or if they were just trying to show that they were both thinking the same spot or whatever. It didn't come off the way it needed to come off.
The match was fine up until the last end of it, and then I thought it completely got stuck in the mud. Yeah, I don't even. There was that spot you were talking about, but there was also like.
I mean, that spot led right into the end. So I mean.
Well, right, but even before that, there was like they were having some kind of miscommunication issues, because like I don't think Cody realized that. I think he thought when Carmelo does his little like backstabber thing, it's actually you have to face him and not behind. So Carmelo was like trying to jump, but Cody was still facing him, so he didn't finally turn him around. Mm. It's just things like that where it's like, you know, if they wrestled each other a bunch of different, like if they were on a house show circuit, you never would have seen that because they've just got so used to it. But I think that's what makes matches where dudes are wrestling each other for the first time so special, that hit, because sometimes the chemistry can just be off. Like you can have weird dance partners and it's not either person's fault.
But I think it accomplished what it was designed to accomplish, which is establish Carmelo as somebody who is going to be a rising star on that brand.
Oh, the dude looks like $1 million when he comes out. This is the easiest hit in wrestling. You can see the dude like, yep, that dude looks like a star. Like
he's him.
It's
yeah.
In a lot of ways, it is that instant. Like when the dude comes out, does he or she look like a star? And you can make a snap judgment. And usually it's pretty spot on from when you first see the person. And I don't feel that way about Bron Breakker. Mm. So we'll see how that happens.
Y'all got any other SmackDown notes before we get into Raw?
You're talking about, well, this is goes back to Dynamite. But when they started that whoop that trick thing, I swear that's what they were saying at first on Dynamite when... they started beating Tony's ass, but then I found out that Matt's pants ripped. So it's like your pants ripped. So whoop that trick chanted with shitty microphones sounds like.
Just sounds the same. Can we talk about the WWE draft as a whole?
Sure. Yeah.
This is the absolute dumbest way to do any kind of draft. I hated this so much because immediately I was so confused because I think I wrote down here. Okay. SmackDown starts. The first round goes Bianca Belair as first pick. I was like, okay. Yeah. Then it was Jey Uso, and I was like, fucking Jey, okay, no CM Punk, no, no, blah, blah. It took me three rounds before I realized, oh, for some reason, they're doing eligible draft pools for one night. What the fuck is that? That's not how draft works.
Well, that's how they have always done the WWE draft, because they have the two different shows, and you don't want all your good people to go on the first show, so they have the two separate pools. I get it. It's stupid as hell, made even stupider when you say your champions can't go, made even triple stupid it's not about getting somebody new. It's about keeping somebody you have and making sure they don't leave. No, it's not.
That's not how drafts work.
No.
Drafts are about acquiring talent.
Yeah.
That's how draft works.
Yeah. Yeah. So this became the draft as a whole, and it got slightly better on Raw because you had a couple people go to different brands. But I don't want to – you're not intriguing me with, oh, the show's staying the same. Yay.
Yeah, that's – and at least if you were going to do that, don't protect the champions. So that way you can have the first pick to SmackDown is Cody Rhodes because we want that title.
Yep.
And then Adam Pearce on the Raw show now has to be, okay, do I keep my title in Damian Priest or do I go get a CM Punk or do I go get – then it becomes a sort of kind of a strategy.
But then you got, Roman Reigns just recuses himself. So y'all can't have it. He was like, well, just pull my name out of
and
it.
And then the Judgment Day gets drafted. But Rhea Ripley's not a part of the Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Because she's hurt. Well, but she's still and in the thing.
Four fucking people.
Yeah. And then it was kind of going like, then I was like, oh, there must be, I must have missed the full screen graphic rule. It was like, you have to take one woman and one man each round.
Nah,
they never made that explicit, but that's what they did.
That's what they did, but it's not necessary. I don't think that's a mandatory rule. I think that's them trying to establish that the women are just as important on their show as the men.
But then they got down and they draft, there was one round where it was like Alpha Academy. And they get Maxine and Chad. And that was the only woman that was in the thing.
Here's the other. And it annoys the crap out of me. And this is why when we were talking about ours, I'm like, what's the rules here? Because they had who was listed as eligible. And then certain tag teams, the Creeds would have been would have gone together.
Yeah,
sure.
Alpha Academy was listed as all four of them. Final Testament was listed as all of them. The Pride was listed as all of them. So you had different groups. Imperium was listed as two because they said they weren't going to get three. You got LWO, who's listed as everybody, including the guy that just betrayed them. So, I mean, they established the who was in a group prior to. And yes, it's dumb as hell at times, but
am I crazy too, or did they not announce like a couple of weeks ago that NXT would have a part?
I swear they did.
And nothing happened except for NXT people got called to the main roster. They didn't get their own fucking draft.
No, they did not. I thought
so. They just said,
and were the NXT champions protected? Because why would you not get Trick Williams?
Yeah, I think they're
but
probably
he wasn't
protected.
Listed on the when they showed the graphic. They're like, these people are protected because they have belts.
He wasn't was shown. No Trick. Yeah,
I don't know.
And if you're gonna go, if I'm getting somebody from NXT, who am I getting?
So they got Ilja called up, right?
Yeah,
is that his name?
Yeah,
and people were psyched to see him and
damn good call.
See maybe a thing between he and Gunther.
Yeah. Yes,
Gunther.
And then they had what was it, Kiana James?
Yep,
but. And the only thing I've seen from the women in NXT has been Roxanne Perez, who was on the Raw after WrestleMania. So you would think if you were going to call, if you're going to have a showcase of somebody WrestleMania.
They're doing something with her where she's going, they've got a program with her where she's trying to get the belt back kind of thing and establish herself. But
well, then you got to announce that she's protected too, because it just makes it, the draft sounds stupid when it's just like, when the fans at home can be like, why would you not go just get this person?
Yeah, we're just going to keep this guy.
Yeah.
But I thought they were going to draft him because of the upcoming CW stuff, but maybe they'll do
it
next year.
And also, I went to look at the eligible draft pool graphic at the beginning of Raw. Carmelo Hayes, or the beginning of SmackDown, Carmelo Hayes was not in the opening graphic. What's happening? What's going on? Anyway. The whole thing.
It goes back to your thing, and probably Steven's at this point too, where like you said it, because you used to say this about the belt in AEW and about if it's not defended every 30 days, it needs to be vacated. You're like, they just need to have a fucking list of rules. But then you got fucking stats that don't really matter anymore. But WWE doesn't have fucking stats. And what you had an idea earlier, you said you wanted to talk about how they just decide, I guess, who their fucking number one contenders are.
Well, there's that. But the WWE's version of the AEW rankings is this quote unquote draft split that's probably going to happen. That's not going to be a thing because they've already announced the women's tag team can go on both shows because they can't. That's why they couldn't be drafted. They could be drafted either, but it doesn't matter. They can go on both shows.
Hold on. You can draft because there is only one women's tag team belt.
Right.
It has to circulate between two shows. If the Kabuki Warriors lose it, they stay on Raw though. So you're still drafting that team, but the belt will go to different teams depending on wherever.
I guarantee you Cody Rhodes is going to be on both shows.
Oh, they've already said he's on SmackDown also.
And he's,
there were tweets about that the other day. They're like, he's listed as a SmackDown. He's on the roster.
And he'll be on Raw too.
I don't know if he will right away.
I think he will.
I mean, did we get...
Not right away, I guarantee to you he'll be there in January.
Refresh my memory. Yeah. Did he show up on Monday? I don't think he did. And the draft hasn't taken effect yet.
You talking about...
He showed up Monday.
As in yesterday, yeah.
No, if he did, it was nothing to make a note of. For me,
something else I want to praise WWE for, and this is something that I didn't mind at first, but because of how it was received in my house, I'm glad it's gone. I am so freaking glad the AR graphic things are gone.
Oh, well, yeah, they were garbage from the get-go.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Those are
the fucking, entrances are stupid.
Like the fucking stupid looking Roman 3D thing. That,
yes.
The only one that was cool was Drew McIntyre's sword, I think.
That used to be like the
rest of them I can live without.
I could hear that was my wife's one of my, this is so stupid. I'm like, they're just trying, and I'm trying to have them justify this thing. And I'm sitting there going, I really don't want to. I agree with you. But now that they're gone, I'm like, I am so glad this stupid shit is gone. Glad you're getting back to basics. Thank you.
That garbage Roman.
And from our mouths to somebody's ears out there, we got what until the end of the year before Daft Punk or whoever the hell the stupid
Def Rebel.
Is gone. His contract's up at the end of the year. Yeah. So we're getting there.
Things circulating. Have you seen that? Like, they're very aware of the feedback.
How could you not be?
About his music, their music, whoever it is.
Well, I mean, yeah, the Royal Rumble happened in January, and every other one you were like, I don't know who that is because I don't recognize the music. It sounds exactly the same.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah, when they updated AJ Styles, you get, you don't want none. Like, and they're like basically announcing who it is before the music.
Dear God, the church music entrance, that was chef's kiss, man. Get that crap back.
So let's go ahead and get into some of the things from Raw. I only have a couple notes. So I don't know what you guys have. But I guess Patrick Mahomes is a heel now.
Yeah, damn straight he is.
My man is leaning into the we're about to get booed to high hell come NFL season. So let's go ahead and start now.
He has said in interviews with the NFL that if they need him to be the bad guy, he'll be the damn bad guy.
Well, that whole Chiefs team is going to be the bad guy come September.
And the moment he showed his ass up with Logan Paul, I'm like, I hate him. That's cool.
And then
that's
gave perfect. Him three championship rings.
Oh, man. And that makeup was stupid as hell. But the picture I saw today with the indentations of the diamonds on his forehead, bless J.D. McGovern.
Even the Kansas City crowd was like, Mahomes, what you doing, bro? Come on. Well, that's a bad guy. Come on. We don't want to boo you. Come on. The best quarterback alive. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Also,
this
in that
made me like him, and I hate the dude.
Also, in that segment, it's easy to forget how big Braun Strowman actually is until two offensive linemen stand up beside Patrick Mahomes, and Braun Strowman is towering over both of those guys.
6'8".
Like, that's a massive ass dude. Huge.
300 pounds of muscle.
When he got drafted last night, I was like, well, he's obviously showing up tonight. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I've always liked Braun. Always liked him.
I have too. Like, I'm not.
He has his moments.
Big dudes like that typically are pretty boring to me, but catch these hands, catch Ray's.
When he.
I'm in. Yeah. That's fucking it's great.
We were at the show live when he was going after the tag team belts, and he didn't have a partner, and he went out there and was like, you, and picked out little Nicholas, and that was entertained the shit out of me. I'm not gonna lie, that you know, that
entertained Nicholas is the true undefeated, undisputed tag team champion, never been beat for those titles.
Why do I have that reference is going over my head?
WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, no, it wasn't WrestleMania. Oh. It was like, I want to say it was like a battleground or something.
Sky Bay before I watched,
but he came out there all by himself, and he's like, you have to have a tag team partner or else you can't fight for these matches. So he went out into the crowd, picked a kid.
Awesome.
I mean, it was a ref's kid, but still.
Yeah, sure. Beat the hell out of both of those.
That's awesome. My only other note from last night was that you see Chad backstage, he just gets the fuck kicked out of him by Sammy. Sammy just like walks off, and they didn't address it the rest of the night.
Well, they did. I mean, in the sense that Gable came back later and stopped Sammy from winning the Bronson Reed match, and then suplexed him. This, I mean, again, the draft needs to be changed. How it's done didn't work. I enjoyed the Gunther Xavier match because that seemed like it took up a lot of time, and it was a slow, kind of very deliberate match of, this is a former King of the Ring, and when he bent down and took the crown off of his head and put it on himself to anoint himself as the upcoming King of the Ring, I was like, oh, beautiful Gunther, beautiful.
I don't watch the matches on Monday Night Raw, so I fast forward through all of them. I don't know if you guys caught this. Jade's graphic when she got drafted. Jade looks like $1 million, by the way, everything. But her graphic said, once in a lifetime, generational talent.
Yep.
It's not how those two phrases work. You were either once in a lifetime or you are generational. You cannot be both. Some of the things that they had to fill time with people's graphics was just, it was absolutely cracking me up, because you could tell it was probably just come down to some kind of intern who had to just make shit up, because it has to line up good on the graphic.
Wasn't watching the show.
Who didn't, just doesn't fucking know. But her stance stood out, because I was like, somebody should have caught that. You cannot be both.
Yeah, somebody need to lay eyes on the graphic before it.
I enjoyed the Drew Punk breakdown.
Well, that was the other thing. It was like, the only thing on this, WWE to me still has, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, it still feels very manufactured. It feels kind of plastic to me at times. But the only time where it doesn't feel that way is when CM Punk is in the ring. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if he gets more leeway than some other performers.
I think it's because it feels like these two dudes do have some legitimate beef with each other. And Drew was leaning into it too. And the fact that he's backstage looking at Booker T going, bitch, you had issues with this motherfucker in the past. We're like, just like me. So why are you licking his ass?
Yeah, I do like how Drew's character has now changed as like, remember, this dude's a fucking asshole. Am I the only one that is, am I taking crazy pills? Nobody liked this dude. And now he's like, you know, the favorite son of the whole locker room.
And the fact that it's like, you're up there, fine, I'm going to come up there and kick your ass. And meanwhile, CM Punk's like, down here at the ring.
But there is just a type of energy I feel when CM Punk comes on screen and grabs a microphone. It feels different from when other people grab the microphone. And I think it's the little things of just being like, Pat, time me, because it's going to take less time than the last time he's defended the championship.
That was good.
Yes.
Like just little digs like that.
Or him sitting, he's like, okay, I'm done with you. Turn his back to him, face the other side of the crowd, because you're out of sight, out of mind.
So I said this, I think, a couple minutes ago. This is the best thing WWE has going right now, these two guys.
I think it'll be, I hope it's not a letdown when this match actually happens.
But it's always, but it is most of the time is, no, WWE has conditioned even their own audience to not really care that much about the matches. That's why they have a belt that is defended on Twitter that's called Speed, where the matches are 3 minutes. The matches don't matter. It's the entertainment of it. It's the promo battles. It's I don't really care to see Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles wrestle each other.
But here's the thing. It's not like it's going to be a horrible match. It's just not. No. It's not. I mean, it's going to be probably a B match.
Sure.
And I'm fine. If you give me solid Bs with a storyline that has entertained me all the way through, I have paid money I have paid more money to go see shittier movies that I enjoyed like that. I mean,
yeah, I would just like the A match. I would like the A-plus match. I'll take the A match with the shitty story than the good story with the B match.
I'd rather have the emotional investment and have some be entertained that way than see a match that I'm not going to remember.
That's part, and I didn't talk about this, I talked about Cody. That's part of my worry with Cody, is that Cody, for the last 2 years, has had this big bad guy in Roman Reigns that he's been climbing up the mountain, and he beats him. And then, as always, is the question, anytime a babyface gets a belt, is what's going to happen after the fact? And basically, you have, the crowd loves Cody, no question. I don't think they really give a damn who he's wrestling at this point, because it's still so new. But they probably will.
Bless him when he runs out of people that have known his dad.
I mean, damn, it's going to be.
Like where are they going to take this in the next year or so?
He's going to need a Gunther-like character a Roman Reigns like character to rise up to go against him. If it is a guy like Gunther, and it's going to need to be a long kind of story. These little like one-offs, Cody wrestles blah 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 at Backlash, and then he wrestles whoever at the other pay-per-view, that's not going to do this dude any favors.
Yeah. Any other thoughts before we get into our draft?
I just want to address the Ewok in the room.
Hey, that's my pocket Ewok. I was getting ready to get
pocket Ewok.
There's a story behind it. If you care, you can go find the We Are a Star Wars. No, because I don't remember what episode it is. Anyway, there was an episode we were talking about things, the Star Wars shit from when we were kids. And I was talking about, I got the Wicket figure 1 year after Return of the Jedi came out. And I put him in my pocket and took him on a field trip with me. And Yada, 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 yada. Right. So that was a thing I did, and I would take him around with me some. So last year when Jamie and I went to the beach for a few days, we went to this, found this toy store, and I bought, it's not the 1986 Wicket. It's the one from like 20, I don't know, whatever, whenever the Power of the Force figures. So that was late 90s. They started making those toys again. This is from that year, and he goes in my pocket everywhere with me now, just yeah. because, and sometimes I take pictures of him doing things and put them on our, social media for the, Star Wars podcast that I do. It's called We Are a Star Wars. But anyway, I took him out so that I could take these out. These are the three pieces of paper that are numbered 1 to 3. So we can shake them up and then we can pick.
I'll take who goes one first, closest goes to me. Now, before we open these, is this going to be snake style where the guy that third goes or wraps around?
I'd rather just go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3,
okay,
1, 2, 3.
Okay, fine with me. I'm number 2, so it doesn't matter anything if we do snake or regular.
Oh, I got one.
You got one. You're leading off.
All right.
Okay, so five wrestlers. This is the ground rules.
Yeah, and we haven't really talked about this, so this is part of the fun, I think, for me. That was one of the questions. Let me answer this text about dinner. That was one of the questions was, which style are we doing? I hate the snake thing. The 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. I fucking hate that style. Baseball or football fantasy drafts. Ruined me on that.
Well, real fantasy football men do auction drafts, but that's for a separate that's for a separate podcast.
So I'm trying to decide if I'm building a company for the future or if I'm just building a company of wrestlers that I like.
So we talked about five wrestlers that if someone came to you and was like, I'm building a wrestling company and magically every single wrestler that is out there is available to get to come on your show.
Yep.
That's the ground rules.
I see it. Are you building it for the money? Merchandise sales. Pocket.
Y'all can build it however y'all want to build it. I know how I'm building mine.
Well,
I think my first pick is going to surprise people, by the way.
With the first pick in the inaugural Alabama Slam podcast, Corey Hanna has selected Will Ospreay.
And that's who I thought.
Are we doing 30-second timers? Did we decide on that? Yes or no?
Yeah. But you talk about why you wanted Will Ospreay.
I mean,
hold on. Before you talk about why you took him, where was he on your board?
I would have taken him if he had not taken him. So
he was in my top three.
He was right there.
Okay.
So why you want him?
Why do I want him? His athletic skills, his mic skills. He is a quote unquote generational talent.
Right. Yeah, once in a lifetime generational talent.
He's it, man. He's got all of it. He's got unique moves that a lot of people, I don't think in America, are used to seeing. Like, people knew him from New Japan, but like, if you didn't seek that stuff out, he's doing a lot of stuff that people that watch American TV don't get to see on a regular basis. He's got a lot left in him. I think he's exciting. You build a company around him.
He would have been my heel, one of my top heels.
Who's second?
I believe I'm second. So I will let you a little bit in my process. There's nobody on my big board that's over the age of 34 years old.
Ooh.
I'm going for youth.
Oh, go you, man.
So, by the way, that means there's no Moxley, there's no Danielson, there's no Punk. All those Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, all those guys are off
my board. That's kind of how I built my board.
I have only six under 30. Yeah, I wrote it down too.
So my first pick might be a little surprising. But much like Ospreay, I think this is a dude that is insanely athletic. I think he is underutilized in his current position. And I'm going to give him a mouthpiece, and he is going to be my heel champion. My first pick is Austin Theory.
Oh, shit. That is a surprise one. I like that.
26. It's already been on television for 3 years now. Don't have to teach him how to do that. The only thing he is missing is a type of personality. But I think in a company that I like, which is where the wrestling would come first, I can present this dude as the Brock Lesnar of my company. And this is the dude that looks like $1 million, wrestles like $1 million, and beats everybody's ass.
Yeah. You just got to figure out the mic part.
Yeah. So Austin Theory.
He wasn't even on my board.
He wasn't on mine.
That's what I'm to see.
Yeah. But hey,
underutilized.
This is interesting.
I like the dude. I just don't think he wouldn't be in my top group.
I think with the potential is in there, and if I'm taking flyers or if I'm trying to build stuff, I have confidence enough in what we're going to do that I can get that potential out of them.
I don't remember if I asked this before we started actually doing the draft, but who's going to be the first to overreach and draft somebody?
Oh, I don't know. Probably me. I mean, you could argue Austin Theory is a reach at this point. So you can make that argument.
Maybe so. Steven, you're up.
I'm going to take a standard right now. I'm going to go ahead and take Cody, because he's going to be my face champion. He's going to be out there. He's going to, where he does the grind isn't in the ring. He's out there doing the grind on the
when
he's sitting at a Kroger's and whatever podunk town, whatever, yeah, with 2,000 plus people lined up down the street into the neighborhood down the way. He's the one that's going to be plugging my place left and right.
He's doing your local TV interviews, yeah, your radio, yeah, interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't fault that. Now this is where it gets interesting for me, because there's a litany of other. I'm going Swerve. Right?
I don't think anybody's got a problem with that.
Yeah. Nah, he's further down on mine, but if he had fallen to where I was hoping, I wouldn't have complained.
My list is in no certain order. It obviously for me is AEW heavy. But I do have a pretty decent list of WWE folks on here too. But yeah, I'm going Swerve, man. Swerve's got it all. Got himself over
33.
Yeah, got himself over in AEW after being kicked out of WWE, if you want to say it that way. Took him a little bit to get there, but that was probably just booking. Him being teamed up with Keith Lee for a while. But dude's got it. Dude's a star. I'm excited to see what they do with him on his current run as champ. And now I got to figure out my third.
So I'm down between two guys here. And so I'm going to go with the dude that I think has more potential. I'm going to go with Carmelo Hayes.
Oh, damn.
For me to be the kind of anti-WWE guy, I have two WWE guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would have taken Ospreay
29.
First,
sure. 29. He's one of my...
29.
You got him all 30. By age.
I do. I got it.
You're drafting. That's what you... That comes
I
with
look.
It.
I'm looking at who I'm coming with, who's going to be my who's on my way out. Because if I'm spending that kind of money and I'm only going to get them for 2 to 3 years.
It's a decision. Yep.
So my third, I'm going to skip my second highest right now, but I want to get him in before he goes away. But I think he has... I'm looking at people that can sell my story, because I'm a story guy. So MJF is my number two.
God damn it. All right.
And I figured he would go.
Yeah. He was next for me. I got fairly young guys in Ospreay, Swerve. Well, how old is Swerve?
Swerve 33. Is 33.
Okay. Yeah, you just said that. MJF.
MJF is 28.
Got kind of different styles there. I think I'm going... I want to do Rhea.
Oh, damn. That was going to be my top one.
Yeah. Yeah, Rhea for my fourth there.
And so it seems like here we about to go with the run of women's wrestlers. So I'm going to take the best women's wrestler in the world, Jamie Hayter. The woman who my heart is waiting on. Currently occupied by Miss Mariah May, who had another fantastic... We didn't even talk about her. Had another fantastic outing Wednesday night. Just
while y'all are picking your women, seeing how I've lost my top draw, I'm going to go in and sabotage some other people, hopefully. I'm going with Logan Paul.
Not even on my
that
list.
That was a good pick.
So, pick. We each only have one left.
No, we have two.
You get two?
Well, who did...
You're just...
I think you're trying to cheat over there.
I'm cheating, yeah. You're cheating. I marked somebody that I didn't have. It's not mine. Oops. Yeah, my bad. So two left. I might need a veteran, a locker room leader.
And CM Punk.
I mean, we're talking shit on the dude, but I mean,
it's funny though. Any of the guys that are a little older on here are not locker room leader types though. So I'd go. Fuck it. I'm going younger. I want Takeshita. I want all these young dudes that can go.
He was on my board as
well. See, well, I mean, I like the dude's style, but I want people that be able to that can sell the story to me. And right now, he does not have the promo abilities. He's got to, you got to have a mouthpiece for him.
I mean, we're going to call yours South Park Championship Wrestling. That's what we'll SPCW.
Who's to say he doesn't have a mouthpiece when he comes into my company?
And so
you drafting Adam Cole over there?
I have, let's see, we're on my fourth one. Yep. I will, if I have Theory and Carmelo to anchor on men's division, I will have Jamie Hayter and one Miss Jade Cargill to anchor my women's division.
I think she has a look. I don't think she's there just yet. I think, to me, that's an overreach.
Much like Austin Theory, we will get her there.
Who's getting her there?
I am. Me. Okay. I'm booking. I'll get her there. I'm like, you don't have to. You're just going to go in there and you're going to beat the hell out of people.
I'm going with Gunther.
Gunther, a lot older than what I thought he was.
Yeah, I thought he was much younger than he was, too, at 36. Guy. But I can get 4 or 5 out of him. And he gives me that legitimacy in a lot of these that will, I mean, if you listen real closely, you hear that? That's the sound of Xavier Woods getting a chop still from yesterday.
Is it my turn?
It is. This is your final.
All right, for my final pick, I'm going KO. Ah,
he was high on mine.
Yeah, I got KO coming in. My only WWE draft pick.
So now I have one pick left. So now I really am torn because there are a couple people here I really like.
I'm just hoping you don't take my.
Mariah May is on the board.
So you go.
I don't think I'm going to pick her, but just she's worthy of consideration here. Jokes aside, I do think that girl is going to be a huge star. Nobody else has taken this guy. Or see, do I want to do what I want to do? Do I want to go international? Do I want to go? Do I want to have? Yes, I will. Since we're taking flyers, this name is going to surprise you as well. Also, a young guy. I'm going to take Bandido.
Okay. Son, you went.
And I'm going to have.
You're doing lightweight.
I have a luchador. I have the next. I have what I might make Rey Mysterio.
You're saying that you have a luchador. You have a list full of luchadors over there because Austin Theory is 215.
Bruh, Austin Theory is bigger than anybody on this.
He is, but he's probably 215 pounds.
He's a legit now, ass 215 pounds.
Now, mind
pounds.
You, it's solid muscle. Yeah. But
I want. Y'all want fat dudes running around here? No. I'm trying to get Jack dudes. And
so,
Theory, saying, Jack, saying, Carmelo, Jack, Jamie Hayter, Jack, Jade Cargill, Jack, Bandido. We seen him do the one arm little gorilla press thing. Small, diminutive, but stacked, but jacked.
You have some fast movers over there.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, you're going to have to trade to get your key piece to.
Oh, I would trade all 5 of these to get Will Ospreay. Let's just make that very clear.
So that means I got a room for 4 other people.
I'll trade this whole
person roster here.
I'm going with Ilja because I think he's my one of my young guys. Where is he? He's now he's older than you would think too.
He is.
Yeah, he's 30.
He looks older than that.
But I think I wanted to have him and Carmelo square off, but him and Gunther have put on some classic matches. And I think between the group that I've got here with Logan Paul, who's going to be you got my social media here, but he's still an athletic star that's going out there and putting on some stuff.
Selling merchandise.
I've got my merchandise money so I can, you know, throw some money at some of these people when they're dissatisfied with your companies over into mine.
All right, so let's read off who we drafted and then who was left on our boards. I think that could be interesting. That could tell.
I'm really shocked I didn't take my number 3.
So I've got Ospreay, Takeshita, KO, Rhea, and Swerve, right? And that left Becky Lynch, Hangman Adam Page. I had an MJF on mine. Andrade, Eddie Kingston, Jay White. Just because I didn't know how deep we'd end up going, and I was thinking about the future, I have Nick Wayne Orange Cassidy, Ricky Starks, Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, Chris Statlander, Cody, Sami Zayn, Drew McIntyre, Ricochet, and Jey Uso.
All good picks. I think my five rounds out to Theory, Carmelo Hayes, Jamie Hayter, Jade Cargill, and Bandido. Next up, I probably would have taken Bianca Belair.
She was on my list as well.
I have Trick Williams on here, which I'm surprised he didn't go.
I think he's not quite there just yet, but I think once if we were going deeper in this, he definitely would have popped up on my list.
I don't think he's there yet, but again, if we're drafting for potential, sometimes it's just like it is a good sign that Carmelo comes out and the crowd starts chanting "Whoop that trick!"
Yeah,
at him.
Yep.
That's a good sign.
Yep.
Julius Creed,
who I also think is Creed's going to
were,
be
when we determined that we were only going to do individuals and I started eliminating groups because Creeds were high up on my list originally because I thought I could do a lot of stuff with them as a tag team, but having to break them down, I don't know if I think Julius is good, but I think he thrives right now as a tag team, and I'm looking for what they can do right now and get them to a future, not so much as of building to the future.
Julius has more potential than his brother.
You think so?
Yeah, it's just a look. Comes down to a look. Julius has a more marketable look.
Which one is he?
The tall one. The non-gorilla one.
The more handsome dude.
The one that doesn't crawl up to the fucking thing.
Like the non-silverback.
Yeah. Liv Morgan, Bayley, Mercedes, Cora Jade, Roxanne Perez. I had Toni Storm. Toni Storm, only 28, by the way.
Yep.
Kind of crazy. Yeah. That she's already had this much screen time. You could make an argument that she probably should have been higher on the list. Rey Fénix, because again, I was trying to get, I think it's important to have people, different representation matters. I think it's important to have on a show. And then Jay White, Hangman Page, the Guns, who I also think have a ton of potential. I think the Guns should probably be WWE by them when their contract ends. I think they'd be much bigger stars over there than in AEW. And then I had Darby Allin, Jack Perry, Powerhouse Hobbs. I'm disappointed I didn't get to take Mariah May. So maybe in the free agency, she will be.
If they make it to WWE, will people yell ass boys at them?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, they will.
All right, Steven, give us your top five.
The one I'm kind of shocked didn't end up on either of your list. I had Seth higher on my list, but I ended up going a different direction once I saw you were going all young guys. And I had some young people on here that I wanted to definitely get for their potential.
Oh, there! If we had a fourth member of this podcast, he could have just taken Seth, Roman,
Drew,
Punk, and just beat the shit out of all of us.
I mean, Drew was down here. Yeah. Drew was number 10 on my list, but I ended up, you know, not going with him. Bianca was on my list. Obviously, when you took Rhea, I was like, okay, well, I'm, you know, Bianca's into the 35s. I wanted a young woman to be my lead there. So I'll just ditch that and get my other people and go there. Becky was obviously there. I had both KO and Sammy Bailey. Mox was on my list. What shocked me was Asuka and how old her ass is.
She's in her 40s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I thought she was a hell of a lot younger. My surprise person on here was Buddy Matthews. And I didn't realize he was as old as he is either because he's 35. But that dude is my Austin Theory.
Oh yeah, you could make a case. Yeah, you could make a case that you could present Buddy the same way that, you know, I said I would present Theory, and it would work. I think it would work just as well. It's just that Theory's almost a decade younger.
My locker room leader, had I actually gotten down there at number 20, was Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, like Danielson again. Somebody could have picked Danielson.
But Will was number 2 on my list. My top 3 were Cody, Will, and Seth. And I could build all kinds of shit around them three dudes.
I thought about putting Seth on there, but I was trying to lean mostly younger, but then I also have fucking Kingston on here. So
sometimes the heart wants what it wants, you know?
But I think my premise is if I get the people that can sell the matches, I mean, Cody, he's a decent enough wrestler. He can have wow matches, but that's not his standard match. MJF is one of those people that can talk your ass into a match, but he surprises you with what he can do sometimes. Logan Paul surprises you with what he can do and still talk his ass in. Ilja will flat out tear some matches up, and you put him up against Gunther, and you've got legitimacy in both of those two. So,
well, this was fun.
We'll have to see, you know, as do supplementary drafts.
Yeah, now's the time to start working the phones, getting on with some agents.
I was going to wear my sport coat into the war room today, but I couldn't find it. I must have put it in the garage.
In the process of doing this, trying to get rosters and draft simulators and stuff, I found a website. It was like Fed Simulator or some shit like that, where you can import everybody. I mean, you're talking about SmackDown, Raw, NXT, Collision, Dynamite, Ring of Honor, TNA, all that stuff. And they give you price tags on each of them. And each show has like a different price that you can spend on it. I might have fallen down a rabbit hole.
I would check the TNA roster. There was nobody there that I saw.
Jordynne Grace would have been.
She was the only one where I was like, that could be one. But
I started to text y'all and say, do y'all want to pick like one indie wrestler each? It's like a six pick, but I was like, that's a weird
ass number. Before I said
I would have picked Mance Warner.
You wouldn't have gone with Joe Hendry?
Oh, no. Although I do like that song.
I don't know. I've seen that name 1,000 times this weekend, and I know that apparently he's in TNA. Is that right?
Yeah.
Never heard of teleportation right now, evidently. He's just showing up.
No.
Yeah. How old is this dude? 33.
I would have picked Braden Toon. But he's 20 years old at this point, and he's not there yet, but I think he's going to be. Dude's out there just tearing it up.
I had Nick Wayne on my list for that exact same reason. Yeah. If I can get a 19-year-old in the building.
He's younger. He's older than I want him to be, but Hammerstone would have been my indie dude, just because that he has that impressive stature that makes and the Pendulum Nightmare, that move, it looks impressive.
Awesome. Well, I think that's it for us for this week, unless y'all have other things to wrap up.
Can we, I joked about it when we started here, but can we just talk about how the Lord doesn't want Darby Allin climbing Mount Everest?
Oh, my man got hit by a bus.
Now, mind you, he's come out and said the only reason he was hit by said bus is because he pushed his friend out of the way. But the Lord is telling you, Darby, don't go up Mount Everest. I mean, he broke your foot at the last match you were in. He's now hit you with a bus. He's going to send a helicopter as the floodwaters rise. And when you get to the pearly gates on Mount Everest, he's going to be like, I sent, a broken foot, a bus, and whatever else I sent after you. Why you asked me here? A
couple of signs there.
You could make a case that maybe when Darby comes back, he should just beat everybody for the world title, because literally nothing can kill this man. You would never be, because in real life, he's been hit by a bus. He's broke his foot. Just nothing. He's Bruce Willis from the fucking movie, Unbreakable.
I was going to say, too bad Matt Hardy did broken Matt Hardy for a while. Yeah.
So is he now in TNA? Is that what I saw?
No, he's just doing whatever he wants. He just did a per appearance thing there. Unless he signed a contract in the last couple of days, because that first one he did 2 weekends ago, he was like, I had basically like every major, well, probably some minor, organizations, contacting me about maybe something, working something out. And he was like, this TNA thing popped up. And I was like, it might be fun to go show up once. And he's like, so now I'm just going to whatever sounds fun for right now. And then I think he popped up again this week, right, at TNA?
And Tony Khan, I'm talking to you here. You have some major stars on your roster. John Moxley is he has a belt right now, and it's not even your belt that he's defending on your show. Where's Bryan Danielson? I know you're trying to sell that he's injured, but he needs to show up somewhere. You've got so many big name stars that you need to have them somewhere, as opposed to letting them go do whatever the hell else they want to do.
Do we figure out what is Hangman injured, or is he just taking some time off?
I never know.
I know Powerhouse Hobbs is out now.
Yeah. He broke
That's
what he did.
Knee?
Something like that. He's out for an undetermined amount of time.
It seems serious.
Yeah.
Serious.
I think that's why that match ended the way that match ended.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yet again, injury bug.
Why the fuck is Ricky Starks not on TV? We talk about this like every week, though, it feels like. Yeah.
And if MJF just had his surgery, is he back in this year?
So it was like 9 months. So no, I don't think so.
So are we gonna get Adam Cole and the Undisputed Kingdom for 9+ months of dragging shit out?
Go ahead and break that shit up. Nobody cares at this point.
I mean, where's Britt Baker?
She's singing on stage with Zach Bryan. Drunkard and Hell last weekend. Was that?
Let's fucking Roll Tide. Hell yeah. Hell yeah, boy.
She keeps tweeting things that make me think, or not tweeting, but putting on Instagram, like, well, maybe she's working her way. She's trying to get back. But I ain't seen her yet.
I mean, whatever. Whatever.
I know she's injured, which is why she was
on
TV.
I know you are holding on to hope that Jamie Hayter and Mariah May are going to save this women's division.
Oh, they will.
But they they will. In order to do it, they are going to have to be zapped with some kind of, you know, superhuman enhancing kryptonite ray to give them superpowers, because they would be carrying this shit single-handedly.
Real quick, I know we were just talking about signing off, but I don't think, did we talk about the promo, the Toni Storm, the taped vignette thing where she was like, if you're going to try dragging me to hell, you better get the address because it's in my bedroom because I make love to my demons.
Oh, yeah, that was before Dynasty.
God damn. Who wrote that?
I'm guessing
they
her.
They were on one. She was on one because that shit was good.
She. The gimmick needs to end because it's she has talent in the ring, but this gimmick is making it not evident.
But she's getting a little more unhinged even, and it's going in a different,
yeah,
a slightly, because I agree, it was getting very stale doing the thing every week, but. Just last week.
I mean, the butt attack she did where she, if you're going to slam your butt into somebody's head, make sure it hits the head. You can't be slamming your butt and jerking her all the way around onto your hip side where you're not even doing anything.
I think they're in a conundrum with that character because they clearly want to do the Mariah May turns on Toni Storm. But in order for that to have any kind of impact, you actually have to have them together for a little bit. This is the exact same reason why WWE has put Jade and Bianca together. It's because at some point they're going to have one of them turn. And it is, you know, you put two people in a tag team. If you want to do a program with two people, you put them in a tag team first, then you break them up.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. So that's what they want to do, Mariah May. But I think they should probably pull the trigger quicker rather than later on that, Mariah, because they don't have anybody else. Unless they know somebody's coming down the pike and somebody's about to get cleared. Because this whole thing could be, if Jamie Hayter walks through the door in a couple of weeks, the whole thing could be energized. I do think she's the best women's wrestler in the world. So.
Unrelated to what you just said, I'm excited from the draft that DIY is now on SmackDown with Austin Theory and with Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. We are one step closer to Wade 2.0.
We need to get Austin Theory on my show. Come over here, be the champion.
All right, well, let's sign off, y'all. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Instagram and Threads and Twitter, if you want, at Alabama Slam Pod. We've got a network of fellow podcasters at thealabamatake.com. You can follow the Alabama Take on all social media networks. We got podcasts that come out each week. Wrestling, as I mentioned, my Star Wars podcast called We Are a Star War. There's Taking It Down, which is a weekly TV podcast. Check Your Shelf is a book podcast done by my wife and her friend Jennifer. And Taking On Sports, weekly sports show. I think they're on hiatus now. They'll be back sooner rather than later. And The Stare Down, which is also a podcast focused mainly on women's sports, which is a little different. So go check all those out if you think that's something you'll be interested in. And we will talk to y'all next week.